participation, but this week we're going to, don't worry. I want to calm your nerves now so that just in case anybody's worried I'm going to make you do anything, don't worry. This one is no more blindfolding people. It was not a hostage situation, I promise. But this week's sermon that, because I'm doing two in a row, it's fun because I can kind of connect them, but I realized that the adventure was grand, but not everybody was here for it. That's okay. So what did we talk about last week, though? I'm going to try to jog memories because that was so burned into your head. Right? Anybody remember what the actual purpose of our everybody doing things? We're working together because we are one body.
And here, love is not necessarily a verb.
We use it as a verb a lot in English. I love tacos. Right? I also love my mom. So those are two totally different things, right? Tacos and my mom are two different things, but I use the same word. But here in Greek, they have all these, they have like four different words, at least for love. So I would use different forms of love to say how much I love tacos and how much I love my mom. I'm not sure which I love more, but I guess I can make tacos. I can't make my mom, so I would love my mom more. And if you go through, I did hear this once in a sermon, so I can't quote the person it came from. But when they were talking about this passage, they said, because love is a noun in this, you can replace love, it's a little wordplay, with your own name and see how it comes out. So let's see. Where do we start? Love is patient. Okay. Katie is patient. Katie is kind. You're doing this with your own name as I'm doing it, right? Okay. Katie is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Katie does not insist on her own way. Katie is not irritable or resentful. Katie does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Katie bears all things. Katie believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And I think about that sometimes, you know, too. Katie is patient. Katie is kind. And putting your name in there for love, it's sometimes a good reminder to think about how different that love is as a noun than it is as a verb. Because if we want to share this love of Christ, we are to become this agape love. This is like a list that Paul has given that we can hopefully try to work towards, right? Because we're not going to be all of these things at the same time. So has anybody ever heard of love languages? I believe it's Dr. Gary Chapman, who wrote a book about different love languages and how people speak, not just different words, but different ways of showing how they love. And I read about them a while ago, and it's really nice because I do wish I would have had this perhaps when I was a bit younger. Because I have a sister, just one, and we grew up together, and we did not get along at all whatsoever. And I remember even when I was probably in college, and I would call my mom and be like, why doesn't my sister love me? Oh, she's so mean, she's so horrible, I hate her so much. And my mom would say, well, you know, she's one person and you're another. What I didn't understand was those were love languages that my mom was talking about. So my love language, I took the test the other day, actually, just to see if I'm still the same love language that I've always been. And my love language is physical touch. I don't know if anybody's surprised that I probably pat people in the back too much. But that is one of my strongest love languages. My sister hates to be touched. She doesn't like to be hugged. She does not like that. So I would go hug her, and this is how I'm showing you I'm loving you. And she would just be like, don't touch me. That's exactly how she did it. And I would be like, but why don't you love me? Because that was how I understood love. And it took me a while to realize that my sister's love language is actually quality time. And acts of service. So she will do anything for you, and she will spend time with you, but don't touch her. And we didn't spend a lot of time together, like good quality time together as kids, you know, because as kids, I don't know if you've ever had a brother or sister or have just been annoyed by somebody. You know, usually you don't want to spend time with, you know, your little sister. You don't want to hang around. But then when we got older and I realized that her love and quality time, oh my goodness, I finally understood that that's how love shows me her. And so anytime I come up against somebody that maybe I think, oh, that person doesn't like me, I wonder, what is actually their love language? Because I know mine, right? But not everybody wants to be hugged. So I have to think, okay, if this don't use our mouths. Because your love language might be different with a spouse as it would be with a stranger. So I'm going to hug and picture all the time, but when I meet someone, I'm not going to just go. So we think about that too, right? What language are we speaking when we meet others? And learning that love language is not always easy. But what we do is when we recognize that somebody else speaks a different language with us, for example, with our words. Like if I were to meet Olivia and all of a sudden she would speak French to me, I'd be like, okay, I don't understand anything you're saying, so I'm going to figure out how we can communicate. It's the same way in the way that we show love. It's the same way. This is a long part of the sermon. Okay, and so I was reading about a woman who started a podcast right after she received the diagnosis that she had stage 4 cancer. And so when I was reading about it, I said, oh, I have to listen. So I went and I binged and I listened to a bunch of the podcasts this week. And she talked a lot about when people are hurting, how sometimes it doesn't matter what love language you speak or how you love someone. Sometimes when people are hurting, we don't know how to give love to that. When we hear bad news, sometimes we hear that somebody has a disease or they're struggling with depression, we think, oh, I don't know how to deal with that, so I'm going to push it away. And she said, too, that the best example of that is actually her son. She has a young son, he's probably about 7 or 8 years old, and she says, my son doesn't care that I have cancer. He just wants to, you know, have his next meal, or play with his friends, or figure out what he needs. And I thought about that when I was reading this last part of Corinthians, when Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became an adult, I put it into childish ways. And that's a lot about how we show love to people. Right? Because Kate, who has her great podcast and she talks a lot about the struggles that she's going through, when she talks about her child, though, her child really doesn't see how much she's struggling. And that's what happens as children, right? Because, you know, when you're a kid, you think about what your needs are and what you want. And if you have a kid, you know that firsthand, that that's what they are concerned with. But when you are done being a child, when you become an adult, you then can look and see what the needs of others are. Then that is something that you can be concerned about. That your love that you have for yourself can change and become a love that is for others. And yes, you do have to take care of yourself sometimes, right? Make sure that you are whole in order to be able to love another. But when you don't know how to love, or you don't know how to love someone in particular, it's God's love that is sustaining. Because this agape love isn't love that we have on our own, right? It is the love that God also has for us. And when we reach out to God in prayer, and sometimes that prayer is, dear God, help me learn how to love. Then we can know fully. So when Paul says, now we know only in part, or now we see through a mirror dimly, perhaps that love that God brings us together in can make us whole. And we can start to see perhaps other people in a different way. The people that we thought we could never love, or we could never empathize with, that we can love them through the strength that God gives us. And being able to see what God is in others is the first step that we can take. So when you go to your next wedding and you hear 1 Corinthians, or when it comes up again in the lectionary, or you're thumbing through your Bible, put your name.